Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Please have a seat. O Lord, thou art my God and King. Let us stand and sing this morning's first hymn.
Please be seated. Well, friends, a very warm welcome to you this morning. Welcome here at Scots Church in the heart of the city of Melbourne. Welcome too to those who are joining us online via YouTube live streaming. It's good to have you with us. You might have noticed that some special things are happening this morning. I'll explain those in a few moments. First, welcome to our guest organist, David McFarlane, with our expected organist, Jennifer, calling in unwell yesterday. If you are new to Scots, please take a moment to grab one of these introduction cards, fill it out with your details or do it online. We'd love to hear from you and be able to keep you in touch with what's happening here at Scots. Please do stay afterwards for a special celebration morning tea, as it is a celebration morning. That's in our function room in the Westpac building behind me. And if you are new to Scots, we would love to make you especially welcome at the newcomer's table in the function room. Now, what is it that's special today? Well, it's an induction service for our two new ministers, Justin and Arthur. So to formally bring you up to speed with how we got to where we are, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Reverend Phil Court.
Thank you, Phil, and good morning. Let me briefly outline the key steps that bring us to this morning's induction of Arthur Kiefer as our Next Generations Minister and Justin Ang as our Senior Assistant Minister. Starting with the Next Generations position. In 2022, our session of elders approved the creation of a full-time ministry position to particularly focus on the youth and younger generations that we are seeking to attract to Scots and nurture in the gospel. In 2023, the Reverend Dr. Arthur Kiefer applied for the position. He met or exceeded the selection criteria and was interviewed by the session, who unanimously approved him for the role. Arthur is an ordained minister of the International Presbyterian Church. At the time of his application, he was employed at England's Eton College as a chaplain and teacher. And he relocated to Melbourne with his wife, MM, in December. The senior assistant minister position has been funded since 1891 through the Scots Church Properties Trust deed. The position fell vacant upon the retirement due to ill health of the previous incumbent, the Reverend Richard O'Brien, in early 2021. Reverend Justin Ang applied for the position when it was advertised with a fresh new position description in 2023. And as with Arthur, he also met or exceeded the selection criteria, was interviewed by the session, who unanimously approved him for that role. Justin is an ordained minister of the Presbyterian Church of Australia, most recently serving as minister of the Caringbah Presbyterian Church in New South Wales. He relocated from Sydney to Melbourne with his wife Rachel in December. Both Arthur and Justin have been rigorously assessed for their respective roles, and this includes close scrutiny of their references, professionally conducted medical and psychological assessments, and due diligence by the Presbyterian Church of Victoria's Safe Church Unit. In each case, the Presbytery of Melbourne West, of which Scots Church is part, has examined all necessary matters and approved their appointments as assistants to our senior minister. Employment agreements have been made with each of them in accordance with both church law and civil law. And so we are now ready to proceed to their formal induction, and I do thoroughly commend them to the congregation, this induction of the Reverend Dr. Arthur Kiefer and Reverend Justin Ang as ministers of the Scots Church Melbourne, assisting our senior minister, Reverend Phil Campbell.
Thank you, Phil, and on behalf of the session and myself, thank you to you for the huge amount of work that has gone into making these appointments in your capacity as advisor to the session. I might ask for the mic just to be turned down a little, getting quite a lot of echo from up here, and I'll try to speak louder. Now, there's a question to the congregants, and I'd ask you to please rise and say we do in answer to this question, if indeed you do. Do you now warmly receive Justin and Arthur into your midst as pastors and teachers, promising to provide for their suitable maintenance and to give them all due respect and encouragement in the Lord? Thank you. Please be seated. Now, Justin and Arthur, could I ask you to stand at that microphone over there and answer the following questions. First of all, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God, the only rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you undertake to work within the boundaries set by the Westminster Confession of Faith, as read in the light of the declaratory statement adopted by this church in 1901, and own it as a reasonable statement of your own understanding of the scriptures?
I do.
Are you agreeable to the Presbyterian form of government as a faithful application of the principles expressed in God's word, and will you gladly work within these structures? Our zeal for the glory of God and love to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire to see others won to salvation, and not worldly interests and desire for personal benefit, your genuine motives in taking up the work of this ministry?
They are.
Do you accept this appointment and promise through grace to perform your duties faithfully among this people given to your care? Do you promise to do all things with honesty and integrity in the spirit of faithfulness, brotherly kindness and love?
I do.
And finally, do you reaffirm all these things through grace as you shall be answerable at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
MM and Rachel, if you'd join us at the front too, and Phil's going to lead us in a prayer of induction.
Please join me in prayer. Loving and merciful Father God, we thank you for calling Justin and Arthur to live and work among us and the people of this city. We thank you for making their different paths straight and so making their appointments here a reality. We thank you for joining Arthur to MM and for joining Justin to Rachel, their wives and soulmates. And we pray your blessing on them in their marriages and in their own spheres of work and life. May your Holy Spirit fill your servants, Justin and Arthur, as we, in your name and in obedience to your will, do now induct them into the stated offices as ministers of the Scots Church, assisting our senior minister. Give them all necessary grace to fit them for the work to which you have called them. May they faithfully and winsomely make known your word and will. Give them true joy in the work that you would have them do for you, for your kingdom and gospel. Give them patience and firmness to bear the inevitable trials and troubles of ministry, and strengthen them by your Spirit to remain steadfast to the end. And loving Father, surround us all with your love and favour, and bless us and the many, many others as yet unknown to us through the ministry of Arthur and Justin in this parish and beyond. Father, we ask these things in and through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the only head of your universal church. Amen.
Amen. Arthur and Justin, it gives me great pleasure and joy to declare you now inducted to these roles that you've taken on among us. And welcome to, very warmly, to your wives. And we'll signify that with applause. the elders to say welcome. Thank you, choir. We're all going to sing together now. Our hymn is Great God, Your Love Has Called Us Here.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let's continue in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we give you praise and thanks, for you are the God who has created us in your image, and you call us to be united with one another. There are, however, times when that is not so. We are often more slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to anger. We judge others rather than show love with the same love that you have loved us with. We are sorry for those times when we have not acted in love, and ask that you give us strength that we might be humble, gentle, and patient with one another, bearing with one another in love, so that we might be united. Remind us that we are part of the body of Christ. May we be transformed by your word. Father, thank you that your word is being preached here at Scots. May it continue to be preached faithfully and in love. May your word shine in our hearts so that we might be challenged, comforted, and encouraged, so that we might be conformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life, died and rose for us, that we might live for you. Help us as we pray what Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, friends, it's time to join in song together again now in the offertory hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. And if you're visiting today, please don't feel any obligation to contribute to the offering. Just pass it by.
Please be seated. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, our defense, our salvation, and our strength, you have brought us to the beginning of a new day. As the world is renewed, fresh and clean, we praise and give you thanks for renewing our hearts, our minds and spirits, with your strength and purpose. And thank you for making everything new in the new year. And thank you for the hope, not in the new year, but in the one and only God who makes all things new in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to seek you and put our trust in you as we embark on this new year. And God of all goodness, we express our gratitude for all the blessings in our lives, for the good and challenging things you bestow upon us. And today we witness the induction of Reverend Justin Eng as a senior assistant minister and Reverend Dr. Arthur Kiever as the next generation assistant minister. Almighty God, we pray that you would grant us, the congregation, the ability to fulfill our promise by warmly welcoming Justin and Arthur into our church community as pastors and teachers, that you would help us to support and encourage them in the Lord, to be prayerful congregation and treat them with respect. And thank you for renewing and refreshing the spirits of our new ministers as they prepare for the work ahead. And we also thank you for giving Justin and Arthur, as well as our senior minister, Reverend Philip Campbell, with Christ's wisdom, humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing one another with love and faith in God whenever they face challenges. Loving God, may your children's love for Jesus and his church grow stronger day by day. And we ask for your blessings and protection upon our ministers, their ministries, their beloved wives and families, and their health and their future. We pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, You would grant them wisdom and guide them to work in unity and harmony with one another, with the elders, church leaders, and with the presbytery, as well as the church community and local churches and community in the CBD, for the glory, honor, and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for friends and family who need healing or direction or comfort and strength, for those who are sick. And we pray that God would meet them where they are. And we remember our organists, Jennifer Chu, Jean Staunton, Marilyn Marnin, Audrey Holder, Brenda Johnson, and as well as David and Wendy Wilson, and Veronica and Jasmine. Loving God, thank you for guiding them all, shining light into their lives, and bringing them hope, love, and healing. And now, loving God, in glad thanksgiving for all your goodness, we dedicate our tithes and offerings, and grant that with our gifts we may also offer a ready mind and a willing spirit to show forth in our lives the truth of the gospel through Jesus Christ our Lord, who hears and answers prayers. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking this truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is God's word. Amen.
Well, please join me in prayer before we take a look at that passage together. Lord our God, we pray that once again this morning you would speak to us through your word. Give us expectant hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Every now and then you meet someone who seems to think that they are God's gift to humanity. Have you heard the expression? Have you met one? So arrogant, so full of their own importance. These days, of course, they become Instagram influencers with maybe dozens of followers, maybe thousands. They get a certain swagger about them, or TV stars. James Corden, the Late Show host, had a bad case, demanding the best table at a fancy restaurant. Don't you know who I am? Or pop stars like the 80s disco diver Donna Summer, who famously said this, and I suspect she meant it. She said, God had to create disco music so that I could be born and be successful. Well, of course, the Bee Gees might disagree, besides which I'm pretty sure disco was a giant musical mistake anyway. But look, the point I want to make this morning is that as surprising as it might sound, as we formally induct Justin and Arthur as new pastors and teachers in our church community, our passage from Ephesians 4 reminds us that they are indeed God's gift to us as a church, whether they might think so or not. More specifically, gifts of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church, which is not, I hasten to add, an excuse for rock star behaviour. If you're a Scots Church regular and can remember back to December, we've looked at this chapter of Ephesians before, where Paul talks about the need for church maturity that's expressed in church unity. You might remember that Scottish church that divided back in 1656 and so built a brick wall down the centre of their church building, like a divorced couple living in the same house. A mature church, says the Apostle Paul, will be a church united in love, keeping what he calls the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And to help with that, Jesus has given gifts to his church. So it's Ephesians chapter 4, and if you're following in the passage, it's verses 7 to 10, where Paul quotes a slightly modified version of Psalm 68, where he says, Jesus, in his ascension into heaven, is like a triumphant Roman general coming back from war, full of bounty for his people. Soldiers would get a land allocation, or when Julius Caesar defeated Gaul, there was a grand procession of plunder, gold, jewels, spices shared out among the crowds. Ordinary people, maybe a new football stadium or a public holiday. It's where we get that term, a triumphal procession. That's the picture. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In the case of Jesus, Paul pictures him here resurrected, ascending to heaven, and notice the gifts that he gave. Now, I hope you're not disappointed when you get to verse 11. You see, it is actually the gift of particular people with particular jobs to do. Christ himself, see the list, gave first of all the apostles and the prophets, who Paul says, if you look back in Ephesians chapter 2, are the foundation level of God's building project. And then on top of that foundation, there's the gift of evangelists who call people to faith. And then on top of that, see this, the victorious Christ pours out on his church the astonishing gift of people who become our pastors and our teachers. Just read carefully what Paul says. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The gift of people like Arthur and Justin, who study for years at Bible College to learn to teach well and to care well, who sacrifice the prospect of ever having a normal weekend, who give themselves to planning for you and preparing for you and praying for you and teaching you and shepherding you and caring for you. Those things. Things which, when done faithfully, are a huge gift to a church. People like that really are God's gift. But notice again, there is a purpose in it, which is not so much that you'll all have all your personal needs met with an on-call spiritual concierge or a life coach to make sure you reach all your own personal life goals. I saw a review the other day of a new TV series called Prosper. It's all about the pastor of a prosperity megachurch. And the name of the church is U-Star, which isn't the point at all. Keep reading and you'll see it. He gave the evangelists, whoever it was who first brought you to faith, and then pastors and teachers to equip you, if you're joined to God's people, to coach you in what literally means the work of service. That's what ministry is. For building up the body of Christ, the body of fellow believers. Pastors to shepherd you, teachers to teach you, not so you star, but so that you serve and so build up one another. It's an astonishing concept, isn't it? But I know some of you already get it. That modelled on Jesus himself, you don't come here Sunday by Sunday so much expecting to be served, but to serve and encourage others. All with the goal in verse 13 of unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Which again is what maturity looks like. More like Jesus in our lives, in our attitudes. More united with one another, no matter what our points of difference. Now, it's challenging, the whole unity idea. Challenging when you consider that Arthur's role especially is one that's geared to what we've called ministering to our next generations. Ministering not so much to our present members as to our future members. I don't know if you've seen this year's Australia Day lamb ad on TV yet. It's become something of a tradition. Every year on Australia Day, the Australian lamb farmers, they promote the idea of celebrating with lamb roast or a lamb rack on the barbecue. And the ads are usually very quirky. This year, with the promise that barbecued lamb is the one thing that will bridge the great generational divide. So in this case, it opens with all these millennials, the young generation on one side of a gaping chasm, and all the old people on the other side complaining, shouting things backwards and forwards about how you older people have ruined the planet, how all you millennials expect to get a trophy for everything. Until suddenly there's the smell of lamb cooking and the huge earthquake-sized gaps in the ground start closing up. The one thing that brings the generations back together, roast lamb. And the Gen Y barista is suddenly saying, well, maybe we could serve our takeaway coffees a little bit hotter. I mean, wouldn't that be fantastic, hey? If you could get a hot coffee these days, those Gen Y baristas. Stop pretending lukewarm coffee tastes better that way. But guess what? If a lamb barbecue can bring the generations back together, how much more so growing together as a church united by the Lord Jesus? Arthur is going to be a gift to our church because he's going to help us with that. As we grow in spiritual maturity, as we grow in love across all kinds of generational boundaries, so that corporately, regardless of our age or hair colour, we will stop being so childish. That's what Paul says. Stop being carried away by divisiveness. Here's what he says, verse 14. God gives us these human gifts so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, and instead get interested in being more like the Lord Jesus. There's more. Speaking truth, not self-righteously, but lovingly. We grow up, he says, mature into Christ, the head of the whole body, who holds us all together. Most significantly, do you notice, as each part does its work. Just listen from verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Which means, again, of course, if you're part of the body, if you're part of the church family, then this morning is a commissioning for you as well. Like a body, each part with a role. Growing, building up. The leg bone connected to the knee bone, connected to the thigh bone, each part doing its work. The old word is edifying, building up in love. Which brings me then to a word for Justin. Not so much a generational role like Arthur, but as Phil Court said earlier, what's always been called at Scott's, the senior assistant. With a specialty, I want to suggest, in helping the whole body coordinate like that, so each part does its work. Now, I've got to say, as pretty much a non-sports person myself, hand-eye coordination was never my strong suit. My dad always used to say, he was a real sportsman in his youth, he always used to say when he was teaching me to play cricket or trying, keep your eye on the ball. Trouble is, even when I did that, my hand would get there just after the ball went past. An effective church needs to be a coordinated church. See those words again. When each part is working properly, it's not always automatic, is it? And Justin, in his role as a pastor teacher, is going to specialise, among other things, in being God's gift to us with the skills he's got of helping us be better coordinated in the ways we serve one another. Planning, teaching, encouraging. And Lita and I, along with Rosalie as session clerk, have already seen that in action in the last couple of weeks. And we, along with the members of session, are excited by that, as I'm sure we'll all be, as we start to see what that looks like in practice over the coming months. So, Justin and Arthur, here's our charge to you this morning. God has given you as a gift to our church. Not so that you'll think you're God's gift to humanity and expect special treatment at Melbourne's best restaurants. Not to be stars, but to serve. And we are thankful that God has given you to us as a gift. Please remember you're here to pastor and to teach, to use your gifts to fan into flame our gifts, to teach us, to shepherd us, to encourage us to grow to be more like the Lord Jesus as we grow together in unity, a unity that comes from love. So for that reason, we're charging you both at all times to work for the unity of the body. Every time someone tries to lobby you or triangulate you or enlist you to a faction, remember to keep teaching us to speak the truth in love. It helps to work together, to grow and build one another up, to be more and more united, more and more in the character and likeness of the Lord Jesus. And again, for everyone else, if you are part of the church body here at Scots Church, if you have come to a faith in Jesus Christ, no matter how small of a mustard-sized seed of faith that is, I charge you to remember your promises today too. And so treat Justin and Arthur and their wives as if they are indeed God's precious gift to you. Because all jokes aside, they really, really are. Be thankful for them. Be prayerful for them. And remember to provide for their support and give them all due respect and encouragement in the Lord, as you promised this morning you would. Please join me in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you indeed that through the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, through his resurrection and ascension to be at your right hand, we thank you that he has poured out gifts on this, his church. And this morning, most especially, we thank you for the gift of Justin and Arthur, and pray again for your great blessing on them and on all of us as they learn what it means to serve in the Scots Church community. Father, in all these things we pray for the glory of our Lord Jesus and the unity of his church. We pray in his name. Amen. We're going to join in song to close our service. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Well, thank you so much for being with us for this very special morning. Being special, there's also a special morning tea with lots of goodies to share in the function room of the Westpac building, right behind me through the little walkway there. You can leave by the door on my left or go around via the Russell Street footpath. I'm going to encourage Justin and Arthur to head over there straight away so you can meet them over there for morning tea. And again, if you're new with us here at Scott's, we do have a newcomer's table set aside so we can get to meet you and welcome you properly. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.